Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you.
be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth, above the earth, across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Athanasian Creed responsively.
Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinities, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one Almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity, and unity in Trinity, is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, Jesus said to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is our text. So, what do the American people believe about God? I almost feel like I should take responses from you. What do our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our youth believe about God? What do we believe about God? And don't skate past that question too quickly. If you were to take a survey, I expect you would find a general agreement among people, not universal, but general agreement, that there's a God of some type out there, and that this God is responsible in some way for creating the world. But I think you'd also find a general sense that this God, you'd find a general belief that there's not really a God who's so involved in our lives anymore. He's not directly kind of touching down and interacting with us today. So a God who's out there, who made things, but who kind of leaves the world to spin off on its own. He'd be a nice, fuzzy, generic God, on call when you need a listening ear, but content to mind his own business the rest of the time. I think what you'd find is a belief in a God who just wants everyone to get along and everyone to be happy and to feel better about themselves, more like a kindly old neighbor than anything else. The sort of God that if you go to him, he'll hand you a sweet, he'll offer you a cliche phrase, "Now be a good person," and pat you on the head and send you off. According to a major survey of religious belief among American youth in 2005, this is exactly the kind of God they believed in. And although that survey is 15 years old, I doubt that much has changed since. In fact, I tend to suspect that we all fall into a belief of this kind on occasion. We kind of slide into it because it's natural for us as human beings to believe vaguely in God, as all human societies have since the beginning of time, but it's not so natural to believe in the Christian God. In fact, a better name for this generic belief in God that's out there is deism, a belief in the God who made everything and who kind of set it spinning and is off doing other stuff now. And if we were to take a survey of belief in God, I would be absolutely flabbergasted and totally overjoyed if anyone responded to that survey about religious belief with the words of the Athanasian Creed. "We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance." That would be great. Or even with the praise from today's liturgy, "Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us." The one true God whom we worship, the blessed Holy Trinity, not this generic deistic God that's out there, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he isn't only over all things and above all things and way up high, the fancy word for that being transcendence, but he's also actively, intimately involved and fully present in the world and in our lives. And the word for that is immanence. You see, what's missing from this generic general view of God is the idea that God actually is involved in our daily life, that he's actually dealing with us, not just once long ago, but right now, today. Indeed, we believe that God's fingerprints are all over. His fingerprints are there, of course, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth by his word out of nothing in 6 days. But his fingerprints are also there when you were formed and knit together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, not by a process of evolution, not by an accident or by chance, but fearfully and wonderfully made by God. His fingerprints on you. And the footprints of God are stamped throughout history, starting with the Garden of Eden when God came to the garden to walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. But especially today, I think about God's footprint stamped in history 2,000 years ago in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, when St. Peter speaks, he preaches a God who is active and involved, doing mighty works and wonders and signs with a definite plan and foreknowledge of events taking place, who actively keeps his promise. Listen to what St. Peter says. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, came in the flesh and was crucified and killed. But God the Father raised him up and exalted him to his right hand as both Lord and Christ. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus poured out this Spirit on Pentecost. The Son of God, active in the flesh, God the Father active in raising the Son from the dead, and God the Spirit active in coming down on Pentecost to create and form the church. And I'd say that's a very far cry from a nice, fuzzy, generic God who gives you sweets and speaks in cliches and pats you on the head when you feel down. But it still begs the question, what about today? What about right now in my life and in yours? When we look around at the world outside, we see a world that's full of man's works, a world stamped by human exploration and human ingenuity and human development, whether good or bad. But where are the Holy Trinity's fingerprints and footprints? And just exactly how is he active? How is my life and your life held and touched by the blessed Holy Trinity, the divine eternal unity, today and tomorrow and in all the days to come? Well, dear Christians, just look at the place where Jesus directs you in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know where the Holy Spirit is and how where the Holy Trinity is and how the Holy Trinity is active, just grab a hold of your baptism. Return to the font, to where you were washed with water and the word, swim in that stream, and you'll see that it's soaked with the power and with the work and with the presence of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is active and alive in holy baptism. And I don't just mean that the Holy Trinity is active and alive in holy baptism when someone is brought to be newly baptized, but I mean that the Holy Trinity is active and alive in your baptism still. Your baptism is not just a past event, not just something that you look at and say, well, that was nice, now let's get on with today. No, your baptism brought you into direct contact with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, putting their stamp on your life in a way that remains to this very day. After rising from the dead and before ascending into heaven, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Is it just a phrase? Is it just a formula? Is it just a bunch of words that confess our God but have nothing directly to do with him? No. In fact, throughout the scriptures, it's clear that wherever God places his name, there he is. The tabernacle in Exodus, the temple in 1 Kings, Solomon's temple, God said, "I will place my name there." And they took him seriously, that it wasn't just a word, but it was God's own presence who was there in that temple. Just as we confess that through your baptism, it is the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who remains and abides with you still, where his name is, on you. There he is. He is present to care for you, to love you, to guide you, when needed, to rebuke and correct you, and also to bless and keep you and forgive you and load you with his promises. All of that there, still today, for you, in your baptism. And we remember this when we gather in church on Sunday morning. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's like your baptism is being put back on you again, almost like you're taking your baptism and dressing yourself with it, remembering who you are and whose you are. You see, in holy baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have made you a people for his own possession. Not just random human beings, but his people now, because his name is on you. And he has made you new through your baptism. You are a new creation through water and the Word. And I want to think just briefly about what each person of the Holy Trinity has done and is doing in your baptism. First of all, there's God the Father. What was he doing and is he doing through your baptism? Well, what did God the Father do at the baptism of Jesus Christ? The heavens opened and the voice spoke, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And you know how God sees you? What God the Father says about you today? "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I say Son because he sees you covered with Christ. All your sins forgiven and washed away. And what is God the Son doing in your baptism? You were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, which means that you were baptized into his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And you have that as you are joined with Christ. Indeed, we can say that Christ now lives in us. And because Christ lives in us, we will never die, and even though we die, we will live forever with him. And what about the Holy Spirit? What is he doing in holy baptism for you today? He is taking the holiness that Christ won by his life, death, and resurrection, and he is giving that holiness to you. And he is making you holy in Christ, and he is keeping you in your baptism, and he is promising you. He is promising you that he will raise you up on the last day. So these are the things that God has done and is doing in your life. This is where he touches you today. He's in that water, stirring it around, active, present, living with you, so that you remain his now and forever, so that you have what you need for life in this world, forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have not just a generic God, not just a God who is out there, not just a God who maybe made you in some fashion, but who leaves you alone. No, you have a God who is daily and intimately active in your life, as active and as present as your baptism that you live in each and every day. And he doesn't just give you a sweet or a pat on the head or a cliche phrase. No, he says, "You are mine. And I am yours. And you have my strong name placed on you to go with you today and tomorrow and every day of your life." And so may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless and keep you in your baptismal grace. And may we as the baptized join together and bow our heads and bend our knees, saying, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit." And next time someone asks you about the God you believe in, you can say, "We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance." And when they ask for more, simply invite them to come to baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Have mercy.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Hear us.
God the Father in heaven.
Have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all heresy.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From drought and famine.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From war, plague, and pestilence.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From treason and rebellion.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From disaster by fire or flood.
Good Lord, deliver us.
And from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation.
Help us, good Lord.
By your holy nativity.
Help us, good Lord.
By your baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Help us, good Lord.
By your agony, prayer, and bloody sweat.
Help us, good Lord.
By your holy cross and bitter pain.
Help us, good Lord.
By your precious death and burial.
Help us, good Lord.
By your glorious resurrection and ascension.
Help us, good Lord.
And by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In our trials.
Help us, good Lord.
In our prosperity.
Help us, good Lord.
At the hour of our death.
Help us, good Lord.
And on the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
To rule and govern your holy church.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise up those who fall and uphold those who stand.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To send faithful laborers into your harvest.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To send your spirit and grace with your word.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To preserve our land from discord and strife, to give wisdom and integrity to all who lead and protect us, that truth and justice might prevail.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give joy to our high school graduates, Jordan, Abby, and Allie, that their talents, abilities, and interests may bring you glory and bless others.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To bless and keep the union of Adam Steino and Emma Snydman.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To grant all women with child, especially Cara, Tiffany, and Kelsey, and all mothers with infant children, increasing happiness in their blessings.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give comfort and relief to Jesse, Buddy, Paul, Ari, and Carol, to our homebound, to those who mourn, and to all who have asked for our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting.
Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.